Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. As the gamesmanship continues in Washington, a week before a deadline to fund the federal government to avoid a partial government shutdown, Arizona's governor says she'll use an executive order to keep the Grand Canyon open if the government does shut down. From member station KJZZ, Michelle Maritzko has more.
Governor Katie Hobbs said Arizona would use the state's lottery funds to keep the Grand Canyon open. She said the national park is critical to the state's economy and that it shouldn't be affected by political gridlock. In 2019, Arizona spent $193,000 to keep the Grand Canyon open during that shutdown under then-Governor Doug Ducey. At the time, staff cleaned and maintained basic services like trash collection, but visitor centers were closed and ranger-led activities were suspended. The funding then came from Arizona's own Tourism and Parks Department. For NPR News, I'm Michelle Marisco in Flagstaff.
More than 5,000 union workers have joined the strike against the Detroit automakers. As NPR's Andrea Hsu reports, the United Auto Workers Union is ramping up the pressure on just two of the big three now.
UAW President Sean Fain said from the start he would grow the strike if the negotiations weren't yielding progress.
We're not going to wait around forever for a fair contract at the big three.
Well, on Friday, Fain had an update. He said talks with Ford were producing results, including the restoration of a cost of living adjustment, one of the union's key demands. But with GM and Stellantis, he said no such progress has been made. So he called on the workers at all of those carmakers' parts distribution facilities to walk out, affecting 38 sites in all. These are warehouses that supply parts and accessories to dealerships, so consumers who need repairs to their cars could feel the effects of the strike immediately. Andrea Hsu, NPR News.
Ophelia, now a tropical depression, is producing heavy rains and high winds as it slowly churns through North Carolina and heads up the East Coast. Will Michaels of member station WUNC reports the storm is expected to weaken, but storm surge remains a threat to coastal communities.
Ophelia made landfall along North Carolina's Crystal Coast. Nathan Grosshandler runs a fishing charter service out of his home on Indian Beach, North Carolina.
We saw 3 to 4 foot chops, which is pretty rough.
Power is back on at Grosshandler's home, but outages are climbing to the north. The National Weather Service says storm surge of 2 to 4 feet is still possible along the coasts of North Carolina and Virginia through early Sunday morning. For NPR News, I'm Will Michaels in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
The National Hurricane Center says the storm has maximum sustained winds of 35 miles an hour, and the National Weather Service has issued flood watches and warnings for parts of several states in the Mid-Atlantic. You're listening to NPR News. Rains and colder temperatures are coming to the Pacific Northwest through midweek. As Brian Bull of member station KLCC in Eugene, Oregon reports, it's expected to help put a damper on regional wildfires.
It's been a hot, dry, and smoky summer for residents and crews that have been tackling wildfires for months. Many once formidable wildfires are now contained, allowing burned area emergency response crews with the U.S. Forest Service to move in and assess damage. Cassidy Kern is a public information officer with a bedrock fire that started 2 months ago.
Soil in there is typically kind of gray or white, very ashy areas that look like we need to do some emergency stabilization.
Officials warn that even with wildfires in decline, many have compromised the integrity of the landscape, bringing the risk of mudslides and floods come winter. For NPR News, I'm Brian Bull in Eugene, Oregon.
The family of a black high school student in Texas who was suspended for more than 2 weeks in school suspension over his hairstyle has now filed suit. Daryl George's family is suing the state's governor and attorney general for allegedly failing to enforce a state law that bans hair discrimination. The 17-year-old junior at a high school about 40 minutes outside Houston has faced several suspensions this year over his hair. School officials say his dreadlocks violate the district's dress code regarding hair length for boys. But his family says that's a violation of the state's Crown Act that bars hair discrimination based on race. 24 states in the U.S. Virgin Islands also have the Crown Act. This is NPR News.